I tried to get out of it because I was supposed to preach in April, and I had the coronavirus thing. After he said we're getting back together, I was like, "Well, I'm good to go because I didn't have to preach in April." And he's like, "I don't think so." What? Well, then go for it.
Can I interrupt?
Okay.
Jesse and Milford have an anniversary. Sorry. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say something about the Sunday school. I've learned, and it's taken me quite a few years to learn it, but when I was growing up, my dad never apologized to us if he did something or if he accused us or if he thought we did something wrong, and it never come back and apologized. And I've learned over the last probably 5 years that I believe it's easier for a child to come back and apologize, or if I go apologize to my children and they feel like they've done something wrong, that they'll come back and apologize to me. And it makes it really hard for me to go admit to them that I'm wrong. But I feel like it's something that I believe it'll be easier in their life to go apologize to their children or to admit when they've been wronged. So that's something I decided to put out there. This morning I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Back before when Dale asked me the first time, I couldn't come up with anything. It was, the first thing that came to mind was forgiveness, and I told God, I said, I don't want to talk about it. That's something that I really struggle with. And then when everything happened, I was like, maybe I can get out of it. I don't want to talk about it. And then Dale asked me again, and for the last couple months, I've been trying to figure out what it was, and it just wouldn't come, and I kept pushing it back. The closer it got, the more nervous I got, and I said, there's got to be something else. It cannot be, but I just couldn't come up with anything. I sat down yesterday afternoon, and nothing would work, and I said, fine, I give in, God. Whatever. If you want me to talk about it, I'll talk about it. So I have a very big respect for you pastors, and I really appreciate what you do. Because I don't know if I could do this every other weekend. But I'm going to start out with a story. It's a story about two boys, and it's a more of a parable of unforgiveness. And it's two boys. It says two young men, but I think they're probably in about their teens. And it brings out a lot of what I'm going to talk about. So it's about two pages, so I'm going to try to hurry and read through it. Once upon a time, there were two young men named Peter and Frank. Peter and Frank were friends. Not good friends, not best friends, just friends. They saw each other at school, occasionally played on the same teams in sports, and were generally friendly to each other. Peter never gave Frank much thought, and neither did Frank think much about Peter. One day that all changed. On a beautiful day in July, Frank was riding his brand new bike down the sidewalk, a little too fast, and on the same beautiful day in July, Peter came running out of his door because he was, once again, late for baseball practice. As fate would have it, Frank was going a little too fast down the street, down the same street as Peter's house was on. And as fate would have it, Peter burst through his front door seconds before Frank crossed his driveway. Peter was still zipping up his bag as he ran out the door, headed towards the sidewalk. Frank was changing gears to get more speed. This was Frank's first bike with gears, so it was absolutely amazing to steal a glance at his feet to watch the mechanism guide the chain up and down the gears. You can probably guess what happened next. Wham! Frank hit Peter. Peter hit Frank. Bags and bikes and baseballs went flying. So did Peter and Frank. Frank landed on the grassy place near the road, but Peter landed with a crunch on the sidewalk. A doctor would tell him later that he had fractured his wrist and got a concussion. Nothing too serious, but it would mean a night in the hospital, and worse, no baseball for the rest of the summer. As Peter lay there in his hospital bed, he couldn't sleep. He wasn't allowed to sleep much since the nurses kept waking him up. With his head on the pillow, some thoughts began to rumble around in Peter's mind. Why would Frank do that? I've never done anything to him. I've always been really nice to Frank. Frank could have gotten out of the way, and he shouldn't have been going so fast anyway. The more Peter thought about it, the angrier he got. Nothing even happened to Frank. Not even his bike got a scratch. Peter tried to sit up in bed, but when he put pressure on his wrist, it hurt a lot. And when he finally did manage to sit up, it made his head feel dizzy and achy, and this made him remember that his baseball career was over for the summer. Maybe forever, Peter whispered aloud through his tightly clenched teeth. His heart and his mind began to race, his head filled with more and more thoughts. Did Frank do this on purpose? Maybe he did. Wait a minute, I was the last person chosen for the team, and he wasn't even on it. Maybe he wanted to be, but was jealous. Maybe he wanted me out of the way. All through the night, Peter thought of more and more ways that Frank had hurt him, more and more scenarios and plots that Frank must have concocted to stop him from having a good summer, from being a great baseball player, from having any future at all. And Peter began to think of how terrible Frank really was, and how Frank had always been like this, and how Frank had fooled everyone into thinking he was such a good guy, and how Frank would never even be punished for what he'd done because everyone was calling it an accident. It was no accident, and Peter was sure. Peter left the hospital the next day with a cast on his wrist, a list of things he wasn't allowed to do that summer, and a very big grudge. His clothes were dirty since they were the ones he had come to the hospital in. His mouth tasted terrible because he hadn't brushed his teeth since the morning before. The bitter, yucky taste in his mouth was really, really bad. He asked his mom for something to eat on the way home. She smiled and said, "I suppose we can." They pulled into Frank's favorite restaurant to get him an orange juice and a breakfast sandwich. He wolfed down the sandwich and drank the juice, but it wasn't nearly as good as it used to be, and the bitter taste in his mouth was still there, and it was even worse. He went home and brushed his teeth with the wrong hand since the right one was in a cast, and he thought of Frank. He spit out the toothpaste, rinsed with mouthwash, but the bitter taste remained. He brushed again, and it was still there. No matter what he ate or drank or how he brushed his or how much he brushed, his mouth always tasted bitter, which made Peter even madder at Frank. This is all Frank's fault. He's why everything tastes bitter, Peter yelled at the bathroom mirror. Then the doorbell rang. Peter's mom answered the door and yelled upstairs, "Peter, honey, come here, Frank's at the door." Peter's face was red and he had tears in his eyes. In his calmest voice, he yelled back, "Okay, Mom." He quickly washed his face, took a deep breath, and walked down to the entryway. He stood on the bottom step, not willing to come all the way. Frank stood there with his baseball cap in his hand, looking at the carpet. Peter took note that the picture on the cap was the crest of team that he would no longer be playing. He came to rub it in, Peter thought. Frank spoke in a quiet voice. "Hey, Peter, I am really sorry about what happened. I didn't mean to crash into you. I was going too fast, and I wasn't looking where I was going. I know you got the worst of it. My bike got a little scratched, but you ended up in the hospital. I just wanted to come over and say that I'm really sorry and that I forgive you, too, for the accident." Peter winced. "Forgive me," he thought. "You forgive me?" Peter slowly replied. "Yeah, well," Frank replied, "I talked to my mom and your mom, and they both agreed that it was partly your fault, but I still feel bad, so I wanted to forgive you too, okay?" Peter's face grew red. "Whatever, I have a headache, I need to go." Peter shot back and stomped upstairs. Frank stood in the doorway for a moment and then walked out, closing the door behind him. Peter ran up to his room, slammed the door, and grew angry. The bitter taste in his mouth grew worse. "He forgives me?" Peter spoke aloud. All at once, almost out of nowhere, a plan began to form in Peter's mind. A plan of revenge. He would get back at Frank, and he knew just how to do it. But he knew he couldn't get caught, and that no one would understand. And his parents had told him to get over it. His coach told him there's always next season. His friends told him it wasn't that big of a deal, and to leave it alone. And he just couldn't leave it alone. To Peter, it was a big deal. The next day, Peter laid his trap. His plan was to hide in the bushes outside Frank's door with a pile of sticks and stones. His plans was to throw the sticks and stones at Frank and then take off as fast as he could. Then Frank would be hurt and they'd be even. Frank would never know what hit him. And so Peter sat there, crouched in the bushes, waiting, seething with the bitter taste in his mouth, getting worse and worse and worse. He tried to spit, but he was afraid the noise would give him away. Finally, after what seemed like forever, Frank came out of his house. He grabbed his bike from the garage and began to pedal down the drive. Peter grinned and grabbed his first stone, throwing it as hard as he could, and wham, it hit Frank right in the head, and it bounced off. Frank didn't even seem to notice it. Peter grabbed another and threw it as hard as he could, and wham, it hit Frank right in the chest, and again, it just bounced off, and Frank didn't even seem to notice. Peter was confused and saw he had only one chance left before Frank would get away. He grabbed the largest stick, and from his crouched position in the bushes, he aimed for Frank's ankles and swung as hard as he could. Wham! And this time something did happen. Instead of Frank feeling hurt, Peter's head started to hurt. Bad. Peter reached up with his hand and touched the spot. He brought his hand down and saw blood on his fingers. Then out of nowhere, he suddenly had a pain in his chest. And then just out of nowhere, his ankles exploded into pain. His head, his chest, his ankle. All the same places that he had hit Frank. Peter was now bleeding and in excruciating pain. Peter let out a scream of agony. Frank heard the scream. He turned his bike around. It sounded like it was coming from the bushes by the driveway. He pulled his bike up to it, looked inside, and saw Peter lying there, surrounded by sticks and stones, looking terrible, like he had been beat up. "What happened, Peter? Are you okay?" Frank asked. "I'm going to get my mom." But Peter, rolling on ground, holding his ankle and his head, shouted back through his tears, "This is your fault. I don't want your help. Leave me alone." And forced himself to get to his feet. On his way, he grabbed up another stone and threw it at Frank's face. It hit him right in the cheek, but bounced off. And immediately, a huge, painful scar opened up on Peter's face. A trickle of blood ran down his chin. Peter yelled again, "Now see what you've done," and began to limp as fast as he could away from Frank, cursing and trying to spit out the bitter taste from his mouth, which had never been worse. As he hobbled away, looking more and more pitiful with every step, he thought about Frank. "I hate him so much. He did it to me again. Why do I let him do this to me?" And he began to consider another plan. Tomorrow, when he felt better, he would get bigger stones and bigger sticks and really teach Frank a lesson. And as Peter walked away, planning how he would get revenge on Frank, he noticed he was actually starting to get used to the bitter taste in his mouth. It was still horrible, but he was getting used to it. And in time, he thought he might even learn to like it. That, as I saw that story, that hit home very, very hard. The things that I try to do to other people, the things that I want other people to feel when I'm in pain, is something that comes back to haunt me, whether it's my words, my actions, things like that. I don't really have a scripture to read. There's going to be just a couple of verses. As I looked up forgiveness, it says conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not. Forgiveness is an act of choice. It's an act of, we have to choose whether we want to forgive that person. We have to choose and always forgive. It doesn't just happen one time. It happens over and over. Forgiveness can also calm us. It opens the door for healthier relationships, creates great inner strength, and paves the path to spiritual happiness. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Corrie ten Boom said that. But the Christian mantra of forgive, forget, and move on isn't always easy. For some, it's extremely hard. And others, it almost seems impossible. It's very unnatural for everybody, for a person to forgive. When they get hurt, their first instinct is to get revenge and get back at them. Forgiveness is important to start the healing process. Being able to forgive is wonderful. That being said, here are some verses for the qualities of true forgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. God delights in your obedience, especially when you obey Him in challenging times. Obedience is a way of life for God's people. Your obedience to God is what makes your relationship with Him possible. It's the virtue that keeps you close to your Heavenly Father. In this text, God urges to forgive others, but forgiving others is the easiest thing to do. You might want to forgive, but when you think about the past hurts, you hesitate to forgive. Also, when you think about I know this is for me as I'm going through the weeks, months, and that type of thing, something happens. And the minute something happens, you think about what somebody did in the past, and you think about how much they hurt you. And that can bring back to where you have to stop and you have to say, I forgave that person. God, I need your help to forgive them again. But from experience, it's always better to obey God. When you follow through with God's instructions, in this case, to forgive, you are positioning yourself for His blessings of peace and healing. It's only God who can mend your broken heart and heal your wounded soul. People's actions and words can really be demoralizing, especially if it's someone close to you. For some, you may consider it justice if you repay evil to those who hurt you. But God says, forgive, which is an act of obedience to Him. It is when you obey God that the healing process can begin. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is an act of compassion, kindness, and mercy. Not only does Ephesians 4:32 encourage us to be kind and tenderhearted to those who hurt us, but it teaches us that compassion, kindness, and mercy are all qualities of God, and no wonder the Bible says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread out our sins underfoot and hurt in all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Micah 7:18-19. When people's actions and words hurt not only you, but also your children or someone close to you, you feel like hitting back, and it's quite normal to have such feeling, because naturally you have an inclination to protect those close to you. But according to this text, you will observe that God usually shows love and compassion upon His inconsiderate and rebellious people. He had all right not to, but instead of repaying them with the wrath for their sinful actions, He extended forgiveness and mercy. As a child of God, you're expected to follow God's examples. Just as God extended mercy and compassion to His rebellious people, you're expected to extend kindness, mercy, and compassion to those who hurt you. You must also avoid the temptation of withholding your goodness from those who hurt you. Where possible, you should look for opportunities to bless and assist those who wrong you. This is challenging to do, but God is counting on you to do it. Healing often takes time, so the faster you express compassion, kindness, and mercy to those who hurt you, the sooner you will heal and recover. It's to show compassion to a person, whether they said bad about you, whether they go around talking about you, and they really don't want you to succeed in whatever you're doing. And then to show them compassion and to just, whatever they do, just show them whatever, do something for them or go help them out in a project is something that, for myself, it grinds against what I feel. My personal feelings. But when you bring God in, God says, you must forgive Him. You must go help them. I mean, you need to go help them, because in that process of going helping them, it helps you heal from whatever they have brought against you. Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came up and said to Him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Forgiveness is an act of patience. Forgiveness requires patience. This is the exact lesson that Jesus taught Peter in these verses. The Bible says to bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:13. This text says to bear with each other. This means This means to up with the people's unbearable actions and unkind words. But dealing with unkind people isn't easy, because sometimes they will take advantage of you, which usually results in you feeling vulnerable. So how do you respond when you are being taken advantage of? It feels bad, or it feels terrible, or it hurts really bad when somebody takes advantage of you, when you're in a position of being vulnerable. They take that advantage of where you're not. They don't take into consideration of what you're feeling. They can take into consideration of what I can get. What they're giving is what I can get. And it's something that God says we need to, even though they take advantage of that, you don't retaliate. You don't do things to get back at them. You keep showing them the love of God. The answer is found in this verse. It says to endure with love and continually forgive others. Other people may laugh and think you are being silly, but forgiveness is an act of patience. It's through patience, while you're up against unkind people, that you find inner peace and ultimately God's deliverance. So exercise patience, keep praying, and wait on God to intervene. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is an act of confession. Do you find it hard to forgive yourself? If your answer is yes, then this verse will help. This text says to confess our sins before God, but most of us will shiver at the thought of our sins, much less confessing them. But confess is key for our forgiveness, both from God and from ourselves. If you don't confess your sinful actions before God, there's a great, great chance that you won't forgive yourself, and most definitely, God won't forgive you. But if you confess your sins before God, he will take away the guilt and shame from our conscience, and he will heal your soul with his love. Why should you continue with guilt and shame when God has forgiveness in store for you, but your confession is the pathway to receive it? To be able to, and this is something I have a really hard time with, is that is to forgive myself for whatever I do. If I sin and I fall back, it is hard to forgive myself because I am human, and God is what is there waiting. Just whatever you do, he's waiting there to forgive you and to help you along that path. Luke 23:33-34 says, and when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Forgiveness is an act of courage. This verse speaks of Jesus asking his Father to forgive the people who orchestrated his death sentence. And a deeper analogy of this text reveals that Jesus' request was one of great courage. Courage is the ability to be strong amidst pain and grief. It was hard enough for Christ to face death, let alone forgive the offenders. It will take courage to forgive those who have hurt you. Jesus is your greatest example, so if he was courageous enough to forgive others, so should you. Find that inner strength, ignore those vengeful and resentful feelings, then go ahead and forgive. And in there, it feels like, even though Jesus was completely sinless, and us as humans have our errors and have our ways of falling back, the strength or the courage that Jesus had, it seems unattainable, because we are living in a world of sinfulness, a world of people out there that will take advantage of us if they can. But we must have that courage to forgive them and to move on and find that inner strength and ask God to help us to work through that. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things that have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Forgiveness is an act of love. Love is the greatest gift of all. Forgiveness becomes easy when you posse God's love. Love doesn't keep records of past sins. Some people may say they forgive you, but when the time comes for them to truly prove their forgiveness, they instead use the opportunity to remind you of your past sins. Love, forgive, and forget. Love embraces and cherishes the unworthy offenders. When your heart is filled with God's love, there's no room for unforgiveness, even though you may be hurt beyond measure. Love keeps on giving, even though they keep wronging you, and whatever they do, love will go over top of that and keep right on giving and keep right on doing things for them, even though they have it out for you. John 19:17-18 says, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of skull. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Forgiveness is a daily strength. Saving humanity was the whole purpose of Christ carrying his to Calvary. The cross represented death, the burden of sin that was too heavy to bear by anyone else. But somehow Christ found strength in the knowledge that men's salvation hinged on God's forgiveness, so he carried the cross. How many times do I, if I was to carry that cross, would I have given up? Would I have said, it's not worth it? It's not worth going to the cross for anybody here. It's too much. I can't carry that sin. Or I can't carry the cross even for my own sin and even for my own shortcomings. But Christ showed an example, and he carried it for everybody, even though me myself still falls and must go back and ask for forgiveness. Does Christ's display of strength mean anything to you? It's a strong individual to bear the cruel injustices of others in the name of forgiveness. It's not easy being at the receiving end of injustice and cruelty. It's painful to deal with. Christ got weary, he stumbled, he bled, but he made it to Calvary, and thank God he did. Maybe someone may have hurt you, and you're tempted to hold back your generosity from them. But these verses reveal that Christ carried the burdens of sinful man at his own demise in the name of seeking Christ or God's forgiveness for mankind. Christ is your example, and he expects you to follow him and do the same as he did. You may not want to do it, but seek strength from God's words and continue to be generous. Your display of strength in the forgiving others is not only for you, but in the context of these scriptures to help those who have offended you. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand to pray, forgive if you have anything against you, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Forgiveness is an act of faith. Why should you forgive others? Is it because you just feel like forgiving them? Is it because someone told you that you should forgive? Whatever your reason to forgive is, the bottom is, our main reason for pardoning others is because God told us that if we give others, he will forgive and heal us. Had God not mentioned forgiveness and its benefits, we wouldn't care too much about it. That said, we seeing the work of faith in forgiveness in the context that we forgive others, then we expect God to forgive us. The nature of faith is that we won't see anything, but we believe in what was said by God. It's much easier to forgive others when you have faith in God. Those who forgive others are those who believe that in so doing, God will reward and heal them. The Bible says that we as children of God must do what he does, and forgiveness is one of the many things God is known for. Psalms 103:10-12 says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Forgiveness is an attribute of God. As a child of God, you are expected to demonstrate his characteristics, and forgiveness is one of the many characteristics that God demonstrates. God deals with his people on levels of forgiveness, mercy, and compassion. As such, you're required to do the same, to be gentle, kind, and compassionate with those that hurt you, not to repay evil with evil, but to repay evil with good. So if you haven't made forgiveness a part of your life, then now is a good time to start, because forgiveness is who God is and who he expects you to be. Forgiveness is something that me as myself, I have to take in and take ownership of. I must, if I want to be follow Christ and be a follower of Him, it's something that I have to present, whether it's I have been hurt or whether anything that has happened is something that I have to do, and it's something that I have to do every day. And it's something that we have to, that I know I go through. You might, as soon as something pops up, you forgive and you don't let it fester. Something that I saw and I really liked is, it's about 13 reasons of, or 13 ways of how to move through and how to try to get, and how to get healing. Is number one is move on to the next act. Move on to something else and move on and get past of what somebody has done to you. Reconnect with the Father. Reconnect with God and read His Word and try to and get in the Word and listen to what He has for you. Number three is don't go to sleep angry. Number four is switch the focus from blaming others to understanding yourself. Number five is learn to let go and be like water. And number five is really hard. You learn to let go, and just like a duck that gets out of the water just runs right off their back. Number six is take responsibility for your part. Take responsibility if you have done something, and ask for forgiveness. And even though they don't forgive you, God still requires us to forgive them. Let go of resentments. Be kind instead of right. Practice giving. Stop looking for occasions to be offended. Don't live in the past. Be present. Refrain from judgment. Send love. And then there's a phrase that I saw that I really liked is, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. When you look at it in a love, look at it in love, and you look at it from God's perspective, it makes you be able to see different things. That's all I have. May you have a good week. Brian, do you have a song?
Faith and Grace 376.
You can stand.